3, which has to do with lead agencies, dash 4, which has to do with having railroads pay part of the fee, and dash 5, having to do with used oil.
Okay.
So, dash 3.
Mr. Chair, Rich Ryder, manager of the Hazardous Material Program, we have not seen dash 3. We were provided with copies of 123-2 and an amendment to dash 2, but we have not seen
dash 3. Oh, okay. You want to compare your amendment to dash 2 with... Is this dash 3 this? Okay. Dash 3 is the amendment. It is the amended version of dash 2.
So we can deal with 3 then. You have seen both the amendment and the... Have they seen both?
I have.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Those comprise 3, apparently.
Well,
so we, as my
dash 3 is made up of 123-2 plus amendments to 123-2 that we got.
So 3 represents accumulation.
That's exactly correct. And it basically, 123-3 is designed to designate the Department of Environmental Quality as, I don't know whether the right word is lead agency, but that's the word I've chosen, in terms of the whole spill response system.
Mr. Chairman, that's Stan Boss, Department of Environmental Quality. This is the language that, we worked on with the committee staff. And I think it tries to walk the narrow line between placing a state agency in charge and somewhat accountable to the legislature, at the same time not interrupting the process for local jurisdictions to do the actual response to spills or the current responsibilities of the Emergency Management Division.
We're going to need her back to vote on 123.
We certainly support the amendment.
Yeah, well, in the next few minutes, yes. All right, thanks. Bye.
You happy, Mr. Chair?
Well, I think this does what we need to do. Okay. I think it's important that we designate, not just sort of float along.
I'd move it so that we can have a discussion if there needs to be.
Senator Cohen moves Legislative Council Amendment SB 123-3, the effect of which is to designate the Department of Environmental Quality as the coordinating agency, perhaps is a better word, for spill response. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment?
Hearing none, so
ordered. Okay, 123-4 is the railroad inclusion. I want to state for the record that I have received, and I think all the other members of the committee have received, a letter from Everett Cutter expressing concern or opposition to that amendment. And I don't know, is Ev here?
Yeah, he's back there.
Yeah, why don't you come forward? The effort here was to ask railroads to be included in those transporters that would pay some fee under the spill response bill to assist in spill response. My recollection is that the fee schedule is to be adopted by rule by the Department of Environmental Quality after reviewing a number of factors. I know they were talking about different fees for hazardous material haulers and other transporters. And there were a number of distinctions going to be made. So the proposal that was made here was to include railroads in one of the groups of transporters that would be subject to this fee.
Your
response, sir.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman, and I did submit a letter to the committee for the record. I thought I might not be able to be here today, but here I am. the railroads do oppose amending to expand this. I served along I served on the Policy Advisory Committee, House Bill 2146, which was charged with coming up with fee schedules for emergency response, as did a representative of the Oregon Trucking Association. And during the deliberations of those meetings, I questioned the magnitude of the amount of dollars that were being contemplated for a spill response, and I questioned the propriety of not broadening the base of these fees to include public monies, because the general citizenry benefits mostly from emergency response and training and equipment and programs and so forth, rather than loading up Oregon business and industry with a lot of new fees. The Senate Bill 123 is the bill that was approved by that interim policy advisory committee. And I did want to make several important distinctions between the trucking industry, which is included in the bill, and the railroad industry, which is not, which I've enumerated in that letter. I don't know if everybody has had a chance to read my letter, but if I may, I don't intend to read it, recite it.
No, go ahead.
Verbatim into the record, but I'll hit some of the high points. The railroads operate on their own private right-of-way, as opposed to public thoroughfares used by the trucking industry. We have our
own. Okay, could I ask you, I'm much more concerned about whether, who comes? If you have a big spill, who comes? If you have a tanker overturned in the middle of downtown Portland, who comes?
Hold on. 12th Street, two blocks from this building, right there,
12th
Street.
Okay. Senator
Cohen, fire right now.
The railroads believe that our own personnel are best equipped and knowledgeable to handle railroad hazardous
materials. Okay, so we wait for the railroad people to come, nothing else happens.
You're going to have first responders, of course, from fire agencies, police agencies, in that type of an instance. But as far as the actual cleanup is concerned and so forth, this is a job that we prefer to do, or we contract to do with Western Environmental Services, all the Oregon railroads do. The point is that we are cost responsible. Because we're on our own right-of-way, we can't dump and run. You don't have unassignable spills of hazardous materials or oil products, because they would be right there on the railroad right-of-way. We do pay our own costs of cleaning up. We pay a lot for prevention. We pay a lot for training hazardous materials responders all over the state on how to deal with a railroad incident. In addition, we already have in place a railroad hazardous materials program, which is successful enough that the interim study decreed by House Bill 3005 last session concluded that there are no gaps, no overlaps, no changes recommended at this time. The Public Utility Commissioner is in charge of the Hazardous Materials Transportation by Rail program, and we pay for that program through the regulatory fee. The bottom line, members, is that the railroads want to clean up their own messes. We do clean up our own messes. When we need help, we pay for it, and we feel that we are imposing no funding liability for our operations on the public at this time.
To what extent do you contribute to the local responders? I guess that's all, you know, I know that you pay PUC for the regulation part of that. Does that ever get back to the locals? Probably not. I just don't know. I'm talking about the first line response. I understand that you're not talking about cleanup. Part of what we're talking about here is not talking about cleanup either. You know, an entire bill doesn't deal exclusively with just.
If costs are incurred by a local agency in helping evacuate around the scene of a railroad accident, those are paid as self-insurers. We pay those costs to the local agency.
That's my question for the record.
Yeah, Madam Chair, well, let's let's say one of your train, one of the trains out of here on 12th Street, derails, you've got hazardous material, and you've got a very severe accident situation. You get all the responders out there, you do everything is done prior to your own contract employees coming to deal with the cleanup. Okay. Are you telling the committee that you're on the hook to repay the local governments for all of their costs and being first responders and evacuating the scene and containing the accident?
Senator Cairns, yes, that's what I'm telling the committee. Our emergency responders, our first emergency responders in a case on 12th Street likely would be Mr. Rick Sloan, who's the emergency hazardous materials expert for the Southern Pacific Railroad. We also have an Association of American Railroads person stationed in Portland who responds to these kinds of incidents and assists in what needs to be done and how to treat and handle specific commodities in these incidents.
I'm sorry, I missed part of that. Can you get the, you get the microphone a little closer? No, I said. I don't think you. It's not coming through the microphone well enough. Can you start back where you were telling me about your SP expert, and from there, pick it up from there, and come back around again.
We have in the state of Oregon, in Portland, a hazardous materials specialist with Southern Pacific. We have an Association of American Railroads Bureau of Hazardous Materials expert in Portland. And these are the persons who typically would respond as soon as they could get to the scene of a hazardous materials incident on their properties. In the
so they're about an hour and a half away, depending on contacting them and then getting their stuff together and getting down here.
Yes, sir.
Give them an hour, hour and a half.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then what happens?
In the first instance, in the event of this type of incident, the railroad would notify the Emergency Management Division of the State of Oregon, who would in turn notify other affected agencies. And of course, you would have fire, you would have police in that type of incident that
right.
I think you were contemplating.
And then after, at some point, you're, as I'm reading your letter, your Western Environmental Services, or that the contractor would come for the cleanup?
Yes.
All right. They'll come down the highway after your experts. They're coming huckle-de-buck down here to deal with it after it's been contained, the fire's out, and et cetera, and so forth. They'll start to mop up, right?
They're in communication.
Understand that. Now, after it's all done, the city and the county and the state all get together and tote up what it is they best estimate they spent on your accident. They submit a bill to you and you pay it.
That is my understanding. They would bill the railroad. That is correct.
Thank you. What do we owe this on?
This is Senator Hamby's birthday cake. The reason Senator Hamby is not here right now is because they are celebrating her birthday.
Happy birthday, Senator Hamby.
It was a very delicious birthday.
It was indeed.
Here's my problem. I recognize that you have your own right of way. I recognize you have your own crews, although I also recognize that anytime there is a major accident, anytime I can think of that there's a major accident, local law enforcement, local fire are involved. And they're involved in responding to the problems that are created by that accident. Not just people who are hurt or whatever, but the spills that take place. It's true that you have an investment in dealing with the problem as well, which is not really true with truckers. But it's also true that local response officials are involved when your trains have an accident.
I understand what you're saying. I think you're in a position here where you're in a position of better being able to assess responsibility. Now, if it's something that is precedes the railroad's involvement. That is, if we should have a shipment that is improperly packaged or something that is not the fault of the railroad, obviously we have recourse to go back for assigning liability there. But if it happens on the railroad right of way, you can pretty well pinpoint
who caused it
and where the bills ought to go. The city of Salem, incidentally, is one of the cities in Oregon that is tied into the Southern Pacific computer, and they can get instant information from the railroad on exactly what commodity is in what car, of what train, how to deal with it. Is this something you put water on or you don't put water on, and so forth.
Mr. Chairman?
Excuse
me.
Well, the issue in terms of paying for a response, I think that's you're absolutely correct. There's not much problem in terms of identifying it. But in terms of getting people in a position where they're ready to respond, which is part of what I think spill response is all about. It's not just, it's getting everybody in a position where they can respond to a spill, and it's dealing with the very initial part of the problem of a spill. It's not dealing with a long-term cleanup even. And that's where, when you start talking about long-term cleanup, you start talking about who's the responsible party. I mean, you can get short-term costs, too. But I guess, it seems to me that there is a requirement for local people to respond to railroad accidents similarly to highway accidents. And it's that issue of getting them ready, making sure they have the equipment, making sure they have the training necessary to do that response that I think is what's at issue here. Who should pay for that?
Mr. Chair, the railroads have a very good record of training in conjunction with the state fire marshal. Hundreds of seminars have been conducted with emergency response agencies throughout the state of Oregon. Southern Pacific does these by the dozens and dozens, even off their own territory. They go over into eastern Oregon and conduct these with hands-on dome mobile equipment to show exactly how to deal with leaking tank cars, for example. I would be very happy to come up with a figure for this committee of the amount, the hundreds of thousands of dollars spent by the railroads in preventing accidents and in dealing with accidents and training emergency responders. We're just in another category from a lot of other transporters.
So you do training programs with local responders?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
At your expense?
At our expense and upon request, we will put on a training program for any emergency response agency at any time, anywhere in the state upon request.
Okay, the other issue.
Can I ask a question?
Senator Cohen.
So let's assume we leave you out of this bill. You're still going to lobby against it in the way you have as prescribed on your first page of your comments here?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, I state in my letter that I question assessing all these fees upon business and industry in the state of Oregon, as opposed to the ideal would be to crank in some general funds or whatever to assist, as Mr. Bothman of the Department of Transportation expressed to this committee earlier in testimony on this bill.
You didn't answer my question. Are you going to be out there opposing the bill even though you're not in it?
Senator Cohen, I will be happy to assist in finding ways to assess others to find other ways to fund these types of emergency response functions of training and equipment. I would be very happy to continue cooperating on the development of this concept.
You want to try it again, or you want me to try it again?
Well, I'm trying to figure out whether he's going to be fighting, whether it makes it. Yeah. We may as well put him in. We may as well put him in.
Let's put him in. Mr. Carter.
Senator Terrence.
Mr. Chairman. What's the deal here? Here's the amendment. It puts you in. If we set this aside, what's your response and the response of the Railroads Association to the bill in that form?
If the amendment is adopted...
If the amendment is left out, we lay it on the table and don't adopt it, what's your response to the bill in that situation? Not you're going to help somebody do something else. What's your response to this bill as you would then find it?
Senator Cairns, I really would have to check with the three companies that I represent to give you an honest answer on that.
Let's put him in. Mr. Chairman, it doesn't seem to make much difference whether we put him in or leave him out. I mean, as far as their position on the bill is concerned. Now, we may not want to put him in or leave him out on some other ground, but the fact of the matter is, there seems to be no movement. You know, there's some philosophical objection to the mechanism for raising the money, even if it doesn't come out of their pockets, is apparently strong enough to say that there's only an infinitesimal difference in their position on the bill. So it isn't the money, it's the philosophy. At that point, we might as well take their money. Isn't that right? Am I wrong? Tell me if I've misstated, in the vernacular, your position. You might not put it that way.
Mr. Chairman, philosophy. Oregon railroads have a very big stake in the economic health of the state of Oregon. And as I say, I would be willing to work to find other funding rather than loading up business and industry with additional fees. This is the third bill that levies a tax on underground storage tanks, right? Or two of them, three of them. Railroads also are going to be paying on underground storage tanks portions of the 123, and under the inventory portion of 123 because of herbicides used in our right-of-way cleanup and solvents and toxic materials used in our shops and various maintenance facilities.
Well, Mr. Cutter, I share your concern about all the fees, and that's why I've been working to try to find another approach to pay for all these bills. And that approach is by no means dead. It's just not necessary to deal with that issue right at this minute, because we can deal with it separately and put it in, I mean, then make amendments in these bills, you know, in our fee bill, in our other bill. So, you know, I share a concern about the number of fees that these bills involve. I think my bottom line is that the problems that these bills address have to be addressed. And the proposal that currently is before us that has the support of most of the industries in the state, the department, and the governor is certainly the way I intend to go, unless I can get support for another approach, which I think would be a more broad-based approach, which is what you're talking about. Is a more broad-based approach, but failing that, I want to get the program.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would disagree that that's broad-based. That's cost-shifting, given the fact that the corporate income tax contributes somewhere in the grand total about 8.5% of the general fund of the state of Oregon, mm-hmm. and a personal income tax generates in excess of 70-some percent. What you're saying is we're cost-shifting through the general fund to the wage-earning consumer and off the corporate community of Oregon. Now, that's not broad-based. That's cost-shifting. Cost the same. You're saying comes out. You want it to come out of somebody else's pocket.
is what you're saying. What you're saying is all of the fees, not just the ones in 123, but all of the fees, shift them off to the income tax, personal income taxpayer in the state of Oregon, from the general fund. So for every dollar of general fund that goes into this, if you had your way, 75% would come out of my pocket as a wage earner, 8.5 cents would come out of your railroad's pockets as corporate tax, which I'm not sure how much corporate tax they pay in the state. But if they were typical, and then the rest would be made up of fees, fines, liquor income, cigarette tax, and all the other, well, excise taxes go in the general fund, and cost spread, or cost shift, as opposed to broad base. So let's not kid ourselves on that score.
Okay. You want
to? I don't know. Do
you want to make a motion? It's up to you if you want to make a motion. I'd certainly place the motion. I don't know that I'd vote for it.
Well, I got to tell you, I think if Mr. Cutter said you have a letter from me representing my association and it speaks for itself, he might have made it, because he's correct when he says that they can't dump and run. Railroads do leave tracks. We do know where you are. And his own statistics are correct as to the percentage, there being three Class 1 railroads and 1,800 permitted motor carriers. But, and I can also count votes in this committee. I'm not going to move the amendment. Well, I may move the amendment, and we'll watch it die. But you've been better off to just let your letter speak for itself. Okay? So, yeah, I'll move it.
Senator Cairns moves, what is it, LC 123-4, the effect of which is to include railroads in as one of those transporters,
yeah, that's right,
paying fees for the spill response fund. Is there any further discussion of the amendment? I know there'll be objection. Clerk, would you call the roll?
Senator Brenneman?
No.
Senator Cohen?
Aye.
Senator Cairns?
Aye.
Senator Bradbury?
Aye. Motion fails.
Well, Mr. Chairman, but I think we've made an appropriate gesture to the
Okay, the other amendment that we were going to talk about on this was the used oil amendment, and it we have in our committees, we tabled Senate Bill 12, which related to recycling, which we can resurrect and gut and stuff with used oil amendments. I think it would make sense to do that as a separate bill rather than include it in one of these other hazardous waste bills. Used oil doesn't really directly relate to spill response, nor does it directly relate to many of the other things that are in these bills.
Which Senate amendment?
Well, this is 5.
It's 123-5. So I guess what I'm hoping is that we would just not deal with that right now, but amend that at some future date into Senate Bill 12, Gut and Stuff 12, and put that in it and have that be an issue that stands on its own. With that, I think with the amendment we've already adopted, I think Senate Bill 123 is in shape. We have lots of nods.
You want to move it? It does go to Ways.
No, I don't think it does. Oh, it goes to Ways and Means? Oh, okay. Senator Cohen?
I move Senate Bill 123 out of the committee with a due pass recommendation. Wherever it's scheduled.
To Ways and Means. It's subsequent for all the Ways and Means. Senator Cohen moves Senate Bill 123 as amended from the committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Clerk, would you call the roll?
Senator Cohen?
Aye.
Senator Cairns?
Aye.
Senator Brenneman?
Aye.
Senator Bradbury?
Aye. Motion is adopted. We're going to adjourn. It's 3:30 on Friday afternoon. I apologize for those people who may have come to testify on some other bill, but we'll get back to it hopefully on Monday. We stand adjourned.
What? That's pretty cool.
Me too.
This would be a good one.
There's no need for him to do that.
Well, this one wouldn't be. This one's just sort of a little. What do we have Monday? We have the bottle. Is it wine cooler? We're going to just swamp.
Be ready for a long hearing Monday. We're doing wine.